Evolutionary.org, episode 601. We're talking about 2024 revisited Andriol. And Andriol is one of those steroids that, you know, you don't see very much on the forums. And a lot of people don't know much about it. And a lot of people have never heard of it. And
including me.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's an oral testosterone product. And, you know, we'll link you guys to a good article that I wrote about it about a decade ago. But look, it's really fallen out of favor, really, really, really fallen out of favor to this day. And you'd have to really dig into some of these sources. You might have a source here and there that might provide one or two brand resellers of this stuff. But there's just no demand for it. And we're going to talk about why on this podcast and explain to you why it makes a hell of a lot more sense to just inject testosterone and not take it orally. So it's an oral testosterone product composed of testosterone undecanate. So it's based in oleic acid oil and sealed in a gel capsule to make up to 40 milligrams. When you take out the ester weight, the dose comes out to 25 milligrams of raw testosterone per capsule. And there's another version of this compound, Nabido, which comes in an injectable form. So Nabido, that's one of those that you don't see used very often either, but I've had clients come to me like, oh, Steve, my doctor put me on Nabido. So some doctors are
I have heard of that one, funny enough, but not Andriol.
So Andriol is completely different though. It's an oral. It was developed by a drug company, Organon. And we all remember Organon. Those of us who've been in the game a long time, they were a fantastic brand back in the day. If you wanted good quality gear, you were looking for that Pakistani Organon, that made in Pakistan, and that was the great gear back in the 2000s, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
It's Pakistani, I think I said this to you on another show, Steve. Pakistani products and Iranian products 20 years ago, as you quite correctly say. Yeah,
for sure. And Andriol was made available in the early 1980s, and they wanted the dream here. The dream was to provide oral testosterone that did not go through the liver. So the dream versus reality, how did that work out? They also wanted to create an anabolic androgenic oral steroid that could be used for androgen replacement therapy. And, you know, in men who had low testosterone. And now you see anti-aging clinics popping up on every corner. Hell, me and Mobster are gonna come up with our own anti-aging clinic and open it up.
We'd make some money.
Mobster is gonna dress up in that white coat and greet people at the door and bring them. And we're gonna pin them. Pin their asses full of testosterone. But this is what's going on all across America now. Is these anti-aging clinics? Any doofus businessman with time on his hands can rent out a medical office for like $3,000 or $4,000 a month and open up his own anti-aging clinic. And he just needs a doctor who are right off the
prescription. We've said on the forums, the amount that people get charged versus what they could do if they self-TRT, for example, it's at least 200% to 300% ratio.
So absolutely. They have to pay their bills.
$300 a month for one or two injections? What the fuck?
They got to pay their rent on the place. They got to pay their utilities. Yeah. They got to pay the cute blondes that they hire out front, you know, to try to, you know, get guys to come in. And then they make them give them BJs, you know, after work's over. But listen, at the end of the day, in all seriousness, this is what's going on now. You know, you have these injectables. So the dream here, which didn't come to fruition, was they wanted Andriol to be the thing that these clinics were prescribing to people instead. And the other issue, the other reason that Andriol didn't take off was you have, for those of you who are, you know, queasy around needles, you don't want needles around the house, you don't want to inject yourself. They came up with the topicals, the androgels, the testum, and these, you just basically put on your upper arm or whatever, you know, before work, whatever. Then you put your suit on, you go to work for the day. So that is what the two reasons why that it did not come to fruition. But also, The third reason it didn't come to fruition is that, unlike many other oral steroids, Andriol does not go through the liver, and instead it goes through the lymphatic system. So this steroid is not going to get destructed by the liver and enter the bloodstream intact. So this makes it very different from a steroid such as Dibol or Anavar or Tibol or on and on, Superdrol or Halo. These are all 17 alpha alkylated. They do go through the liver, so they do strain your liver. Andriol will not strain your liver. So that's one of the benefits, but it's also one of the disadvantages, is that it's not going through your bloodstream. It's going through your lymphatic system. Mobster?
Yeah, I mean, look, Steve, that we've heard of issues even with the gels, because you can make a mess in the bed, you don't apply it properly. Is it a patch? I've heard of what's the other one, Steve? The male contraceptive. One suggestion for TRT with pellets under the skin, the same as what they do for female prescription contraceptives, where the stuff takes 3 to 4 months to dissolve, and so on and so forth. Every single system has its issues. I mean, the reality of the situation is they come up with these different ideas, which is great. Chemically, on paper, it seems like a really good idea. And especially, as Steve said, and we get this even on the forums from time to time, someone's giving them a jab themselves, their first ever injection, and they freak the fuck out, Steve. They have an anxiety attack. And is it the product? No, because millions of us have used the product you're on about. Hundreds of thousands of us, tens of thousands just from that particular source. It's you're freaking out because you give yourself an injection. People don't even like donating blood for that, because they, if they look at the needle, all that kind of vibe. So there's a million reasons why. And of course, they've tried all these different systems, but the truth of the matter is, the reason why this fell out of favor is, anabolically speaking and performance enhancing speaking, and that's the reason why we're doing the shows. We're not talking about contraception. We're not talking about, in this show, TRT. We're talking about specifically the idea that you could use this for performance enhancing purposes. And the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of better options. Now, we're going to give you information about Andriol because we think you should know. And especially in 2024, we're going to say whether there are better options. Is it easy to dose? And even like Steve said, the fact that you're avoiding the liver and the first pass and all that kind of stuff would, on paper, seem like a really good thing. But again, it's about availability and the dosage and how many pills you've got to take. Is there issues if you take a lower amount? Probably fine. If you take loads, like, for example, Steve, if I was having an injection of testosterone, it would be 250 milligrams. I'd have to take 25 of these fucking capsules. I mean, the guys on the forums that are taking a bunch of capsules right there every fucking morning, Steve. One guy's got like 15 different supplements he's taking. And again, I actually touched on this in another show when I said the whole issue with orals versus injectables. The reality of the situation is, you take a lot more when you do an injectable. Almost certainly, if the standard dose for testosterone per week is 500 milligrams, imagine trying to do that with Dianabol as an oral tablet. Forget it, you know? So there are lots of examples. It's nice to discuss the science. It's fun to discuss the science. And I like the fact that they tried, Steve, to come up with different options, different pathways, different ways of getting it into the body. That's great from a chemical point of view. But in terms of actual performance enhancement, doesn't really get there. You'd have to take a lot of capsules. There are probably going to be issues in terms of availability and absorption, and even stuff, and I've touched on this, Steve, utilization. You can have the world's most perfect protein, but if it's a fucker to digest, if the body's not using everything that you're giving it, and so on and so forth, then you kind of got to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on something that you're only getting 20 grams, 30 grams at a time out, for example. This is the way that this works. You'd have to take a lot of capsules. Does the fact that it avoids the liver actually benefit you against the issue of side effects? And are there better options? And the answer to that is no, and yes. There are better options. There are better ways of doing things. I like the fact that we're discussing this thing, because it's all new to me in terms of Andriol. Never seen it, although I have heard of the other alternative. But would I use this for a stack? God, no. God, no. Why? Well, much easier to take Anavar and Dibol or Anadrol or whatever, Steve. Much, much easier. Much quicker to blow up, much quicker to get strong, much quicker to get results, and a lot less tablets and pills every single day just to get a sensible dosage. Back to you.
Yeah, and there are Andriol is available, but it's really hard to find, as I said. And a couple of the brands that I'm taking a look at, We mentioned one of them earlier, Organon. Believe it or not, they still are manufacturing. Another one is Merck and Merck Sharp and Dohme is what it's called, and they both make them in 40 milligrams. So it is available out there. It's
Yeah.
not even in stock. So
Look at
really.
it this way, Steve. Look, we were joking about the TRT thing at the beginning of the podcast. Here's how this works. And this is just straightforward, good old-fashioned, common sense business approach to anything. Why do UGLs produce the products that they produce? Because there's a demand for them, because they're effective, because they sell. Why don't more UGLs produce Andreol? Because there isn't a demand. Because there are other options, it's not as effective as it could be, and it wouldn't sell. It's as simple as that. That's not, what's the other analogy that I've used on these shows? I say, you do not have to work your way for every steroid that's ever been just to see the effects on your body when the shows, information that we do in these shows, should apply to 90, 95% of our listeners. Would 95% of our listeners benefit from using Andreol? No, because there are other options. Is there 5% there that want to try an Andreol and might see some benefit? Sure. So for the 5% of you, but the difficulty, and again, this is just one of those things, Steve, just producing the product and putting it into the capsules and have it available as an oral form for a UGL would probably be quite difficult in and of itself when you're comparing it to vials and amps and oral applications in terms of pills, et cetera. So very few of them, for example, produce capsules or gel capsules or anything like that. I think almost none, unless they import those products from somewhere else. Very few do it in-house. Steve says they are available out there. I suspect those are for specific medical applications versus, again, performance enhancements, Steve. Back to you.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about Andreol and how to use it. So listen, if you're going to cycle this stuff, you're wasting your time. This is going to be for someone who doesn't want to use the gels. You don't want to inject. You just want to use Andreol for, TRT reasons. So in that case, you'd run probably like each pill is about 40 milligrams. It's really going to translate to 25 milligrams what's in your system. So you want to take about, I would go with four, three tabs. So you'd be taking 120 milligrams a day. And then that would be like a TRT dose. And that would put your testosterone number somewhere within range if you've got a low testosterone number. So, but keep in mind, like the absorption is going to be shitty on this. Now, the benefit is that you don't have to worry about toxicity as much as other steroids. But the ironic thing is, if you run a lot of Andreol, there is going to be some estrogenic effects anyway. So again, the advantages versus disadvantages just aren't there to justify using this. But let's say you just wanted to use it, you got some of this stuff, and you're going to be paying a lot. If you're going to run the PED amount to get anything out of this stuff, you're going to have to stack it. You're not going to get much out of it run solo. You're going to have to jack up the dose. So I'd take instead of three a day, you're gonna have to take six a day to get enough to really justify using it. So you're gonna have to get up to like two, like, at least 200, 250 milligrams a day for PED purposes. And even then won't do much for you. So you're still gonna have to stack it anyway. So one of the cycles, go ahead, Mobster.
Yeah, look, guys, one of the things I actually consider it does have its use. And here's what I would do it for, Steve. I can think of two examples, one specifically mentioned in the article that we're referencing that associate with this show, and that's workout recovery. And the other one, and this is specific associated with workout recovery, is if you were restricted in body weight. So, for example, Steve, we've talked about wrestling, MMA, fighting, and so on, and even body weight classes in weightlifting and bodybuilding, where you cannot be over a certain body weight. For example, the 212 class has a height weight ratio. I believe the classic class has a height weight ratio. So any class or competition, sporting or otherwise, not just bodybuilding, where you're restricted to 90 kilos, 80 kilos, whatever body weight, I can see a use for, and workout recovery. So here's an issue, and this actually applies to a lot of our listeners. Steroids, of course, enhance workout recovery. They enable you to do more work in the gym, lift more weights, do more volume, and so on and so forth. But again, that business of not, I'm no great fan of sticking a needle in my ass or in my cords or whatever else. I do what needs to be done when I'm on cycle in order to achieve the result that I want at the end. But it's not something I enjoy. So I understand the idea of not liking sticking a needle in, and therefore I can see the purpose of an oral. But I think specifically here, Steve, when you're restricted to body weights, you can't get much bigger than you already are. You want to be functional at that body weight. And I'll use an example in strongman, the smallest class, I think, in men, I believe is an 80 kilo class now, but typically it used to be 90, which is 200 pounds. You tend to be relatively short compared to the average man, so a little bit under the average height. And you cannot get above that 90 kilos. You can't get above the 198 pounds that restriction allows for. The idea then of recovering from the hard workout, so you're putting yourself through to be successful in competition, I can see that Andrew would have a place. But then, like Steve says, dosing-wise, you're going from an HRT level, circa 120, 160 milligrams, to a PED level of up to, and this is without getting into the super physiological levels, of 480 milligrams. That's a lot of capsules every single day, Steve. What's that? That's 12 capsules a day at 40 milligrams a pop. That's a lot of tablets. And you're actually splitting these up through the day, Steve, morning and afternoon. So you're looking at, what did I just say then? That's like 12. Six in the morning, six in the afternoon, divided them up through the day. And again, on top of everything else you're doing, could it play a role? For sure. Certainly in terms of workout recovery, where I'll give you an example again, Steve, and this might be one other further application. On occasion, we will see people doing a cycle, training hard, great nutrition, and they work in an office. So they work in an environment where they're surrounded by other members of staff, and people comment. Even family members comment. Now, ironically, you want to get big and strong and muscular, et cetera, but it becomes an issue where you're getting too big or too muscular. And more than that, Steve, too big and too muscular too quickly. Now, of course, you can lower the dose of whatever you're doing, ease back on your training, but I can see that this is as a role of play. You love training, you love hitting the gym, but you don't want to get any bigger. I can see perhaps that situation or that scenario where you enjoy working out, but you don't want to be overtly even muscular in people's face, and you might have negative comments that you don't want to have to deal with. I can see Andrew perhaps having also a role to play there too. Back to you.
So let's say you do want to run it though, and one of the cycles that you could run it with, you could do a bunch of Andrew, at least 200, at least 250 milligrams of Andrew every day, and then you'd run some Primo with it, maybe 400, 500, yes. 600 milligrams of Primo. You can stack in some GW with it. You want to keep an eye on your estrogen levels. I don't think you'll need any aromasin with it, but if your estrogen levels do get a little high, you could throw in a little bit of aromasin, maybe like 5 milligrams or 10 milligrams once a week even. And then you want to run your liver support supplements always when you're using any type of anabolic steroid, even though Andril is not liver toxic. Primobolan is a little bit liver toxic and is definitely something that's going to hit your kidneys as well. So, but look, at the end of the day, Andriel, you know, it's still out there. Certain sources do sell it. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be certain situations where some of you will want to use it. You know, we talked about the story of someone actually posted a story about, you know, he was going through a nasty divorce and they've got like three kids. And one of the things the wife did when she went to pick up the kids, she went upstairs and she started taking pictures of all his needles in the closet. She started taking pictures of the steroids in the closet. And one of the, you know, his steroid amps and his steroid vials, and she used that to help her, you know, she gave that to her lawyer and she used that, you know, against the husband, you know, to get custody of the children. And it worked.
Hate that shit, man.
Yeah, but look, it, you know, that's how it works when you're going through a divorce and dealing with custody of children. People are going to try to always use things against you. So there's certain, you know, certain people out there where you just can't keep needles in the house. So it's out of the question, but you still have low testosterone. So you still have a need to use something to get your testosterone levels out. You want to do self-TRT. And there's also people out there who don't have healthy livers. You know, you might have a history of liver problems. So what do you do in that situation? You can't have needles. You don't have a healthy liver. What are you going to do in that situation? You don't want to use the Androgel because it's a pain in the ass. It gets on your clothes. gets on your spouse, whatever, the Andreal in that situation would be an option. And I think that it would be an option in that situation where a lot of people could use it as an advantage. And it does work. You just got to use a lot of it. You know, you're going to have to jack it up. You're going to have to take three of these a day, the 40 milligrams, you're going to have to take three of them a day just to get TRT levels. And for some of you, you know, that's going to be a pain in the ass. I mean, and you're probably going to have to split it up, you know, AM, PM. So 2 in the morning, 1 in the evening, or vice versa. You take three, split it up 3 times a day. And it's going to be a pain to do. But, you know, some of you, you know, it's going to work for you. And then it's not, you don't have to worry about so much side effects being an issue on it. So that would be an option. Another, you want to jump on that, Mobster?
I'm just thinking of the divorce thing, Steve. And again, this is a weird situation. We actually did a show not that long ago, a few weeks back, where we were talking about the whole discussion with your partner, the situation when it comes to steroid use. So they can see that you've got a muscular physique. They know that you like to work out. You've had the conversation about steroids. But again, it can be crazy, uncomfortable, especially if you've got kids in the house and your young parents as well. People freak the fuck out and they don't like you having needles and syringes around. There are ways of dealing with it. So I've actually said having a little fridge in the garage or in the shed, in the garden, which is locked. You don't do any injections when the kids are in the house. You make sure to be open. And then you get that stuff that Steve's just pointed out. And we've all been in those situations where a relationship hasn't finished well. I've never been married, Steve, but where a relationship hasn't finished well, the fucking mud that gets fucking flown just in that situation, never mind in divorces, I can understand it. And even like Steve said, with regards to the testo gels, whether it's a mess on your clothes, whether it's proper application, there's even been conversations, rare fortunately, where you are sleeping with your partner, you like to sleep naked, and some of the gels rubbing onto the female partner, and she started to have issues of her own, or worried about having issues of her own. So, you know, again, like I said earlier in the show, Steve, I like the fact there's chemical options and different discussions. The only issue is that we haven't really seen a specific, unique, proper application that works for everybody. I mean, look, as a great example, I'm just thinking, for example, growth hormone, Steve, and the idea that they were going to have moderate amounts of growth hormone encapsulated, micronized encapsulated inside a pill that you swallow and time released into your body. And the issue there was that the problem is you'd have to take multiples of these capsules with the encapsulated amounts of fractional to be absorbed into the body and not broken down by the gut growth hormone. You'd have to take multiples just to have the same amount as an injectable. Fun to talk about, fun to chemically understand, fun to see if there's a way around it. But ultimately, it's a lot easier to have the injection. So, yeah, I get where the Andreal has its place in those particular scenarios. But the divorce thing, that kind of pisses me off, Stephen. I've never been married, so I've never had to go through it. But the mud fucking slinging and sitting, the stuff that comes up and the back and forth and the money that you're spending just to defend yourself from this stuff. And I have asked your kids.
Well, the first mistake.
Horrendous.
Well, I've always said this. The first mistake is getting married.
Yes.
The second mistake is having kids.
Certainly in this situation, man.
I mean, no, I'm kidding, guys. Marriage is a beautiful thing.
Can you imagine, Steve?
Children are adorable. We love children.
Oh, I've got grandkids, Steve, but the idea that I've spent 20 years paying the fucking mortgage on a big house and having a great car and taking the kids to Disneyland, and when the day it doesn't work out, the bitch raises my medicine cabinet and says, oh, he's got Debo, he's an evil monster. Yeah. It's bullshit, man. It's just fucking so annoying.
Well, that's how it goes.
Yep. Even in this situation, right, the user, let's call him a man, the user is trying his best to make himself feel okay, to look good for his wife, to look good for himself, to be a great example to his kids in terms of training or whatever else. He doesn't want needles and pins and all that kind of crap and sharps boxes and all that kind of stuff around the house. He's trying to be as reasonable as possible when you don't always want to be reasonable. He's trying to be a great husband. And the moment it doesn't work, the bitch is going to go, oh, fucking, he was always using steroids. He was a monster. Sometimes he got angry. Sometimes he was a bitch. Well, yeah. Don't bring that shit up. You know what I mean? Sometimes you had 47 fucking airbags that cost thousands of dollars. I'm just injecting myself with a little bit of testosterone to feel good. What the f and that
Well,
becomes horrendous.
if I'm the lawyer in this situation and you're using Andreel, you know I'm gonna do, mobster? I'm gonna tell my client, I'm gonna say, go take a picture of that Andreel, because that Andreel is
Yeah,
that's a
it's kind of,
steroid too. Take a
it's kind of
picture of
nice looking. No
those
capsules, no needles, no sharps, no bings, no drug use around the cut. Listen, let me just discuss this very quickly with the listeners, right? In the previous show that we did, we talked about people's perception. So when we talk about narcotics and opiates, the idea that you're smoking it or injecting it, it's horrendous. And then you get into the whole, the collapsed veins and where the needle has to go and all that. Steroid users aren't fucking like that. So the perception is where they go. So as Steve says, if you was go a sharps bin with a bunch of used syringes, perfectly safe in the sharps bin, locked in the garage, and she gets in there and she takes a photograph and she says, "This is why he was a monster, and I don't want to be married to him no more, and he shouldn't have access to the kids, and I want the house and the car, blah, blah, blah." And then, as Steve says, takes a photograph of a box of Andreol, and you take it out of the box, and there's a few gel capsules in there, and it looks like the gel version of ibuprofen. It's going to be hard for the perception of in a court case or in that argument when you do an arbitration or whatever else, and you hold that picture up and you say, "Look, this no, the perception's a lot different." So I get it, I understand it, but it's just a ridiculous situation of having to go down that particular path. And argue the toss and argue over the bucks and argue over the kids and argue over the house when you're already separated from the person that you were supposed to have been in love with for the last 2 years. It's just, I can't even, what Steve says, don't get married in the first place, don't have kids or whatever. It's just a head fuck, the biggest kind of head fuck you can possibly have. We have literally, and I'll say this just to finish, Steve, we have literally on the forum this week, and I've replied to one of the friends this morning where one of the members is going through divorce and has been offline for a week dealing with that crap. So it happens. And here's the truth, right? As well, I use myself as an example. I've actually said that when it comes to being on steroids, I'm probably more chilled, more relaxed, more, I might be more focused, I might be more sort of determined in terms of what I'm trying to do in the gym. But outside of the gym, I'm exerting my spleen, my vitriol or whatever I might have about me for the most part when I'm in the gym, Steve. So when I'm outside the gym, I'm kind of easy to get along with. Do these shows, come on the forums, whatever. Kind of relaxed on cycle. I'm probably more of a wanker and irritable or whatever else when I'm off cycle for whatever reason. I've used on this show, Steve said, of all the fights I've ever had, most of them have been with the family, just me and my brother, siblings. And all the stupid shit I've ever done has always been off steroids, all the mistakes, whatever, with women, whatever. Off steroids. I've even had even the current girlfriend says, "Oh, you only like that because you're on steroids." No, I'm not on a cycle right now. You're being a bitch. It's got fuck all to do with steroids. So yes, I mean, it's just the perception. I get why Andrew has its particular place there, and I see the role that it can have for some users. But again, I think it's one of those, Steve. Normally, when we do these shows, you're looking at 90, 95% of our listeners can benefit from the information as average Joes wanting to do well for themselves. In this example, I think it's the other way around. I think it's that 5 to 10% that struggle with the syringes might have this issue where the wife is super uncomfortable, might want to be looking for some sort of TRT, might be looking for male contraception, might, as I said earlier, just be looking to stay in a weight class and simply just recover from workouts. And in that example, for slightly less than performance enhancement, I can see that Andrew would have a role to play for those people. But as Steve says, at the end of the day, when it comes to performance enhancement, there are a lot better options, a lot simpler things that you can do. And even the issue of the first pass, pass deliver, and alkalization, et cetera, can be overstated if you do other things that we talked about on other shows to protect yourself, whether it's an organ protector, whether it's having time off between cycles and recovery, and so on and so forth. So there is an application for you, but it's the 5 to 10%, whereas normally these shows are about the 90-95% of the business. Any more thoughts, Steve, before we finish?
Yeah, my thoughts are, Andreel, it's for just a selective niche of people. And we had some fun on this podcast, but seriously, it's for a selective niche of people. At the end of the day, in 2024, really, it's not really going to have any purpose for most all of you listening to this podcast, but it's important to know about it. And it's a pretty cool little invention they
Yeah,
came up with. Yeah.
absolutely. It was completely new to me, Steve. I've learned something from this show. And again, there will be a small percentage of you that this application will apply for, even if it's just a goddamn divorce thing that we were talking about. Certainly a different direction than we'd normally go in these shows. And definitely something, listen, I'll finish off with this as well, right? So I've got a book here, probably some years old, Steve, and it's a reproduction of the chemical structure of 21 different steroids. And if it was great for a chemist who wanted to make steroids to create, you can get it on Amazon. But I've also said on these shows there are 100, I think it's 110, 150, maybe even 120 steroids out there. Most of them are so similar to others, but only the ones that were effective, that worked, that had the least amount of side effects, ended up becoming a popular top 15, top 20 that we all know, love, and adore. And then argue to toss about in regards to stacks and dosage and cycling and so on and so forth. But there are a number of stuff out there with the designer steroids and whatever else. Andreo had its particular place for its uses specifically for what it was created for. But in terms of performance enhancement, not really a player. This one's always on the bench team. It doesn't get invited to the game. It never gets to kick the ball. It never gets to make a throw. It's just there. And there might be one or two people that love the bench, and why doesn't he get to have a go? But in reality is there's a multiple of steroids, the top 20, as I've already said, that do what they do, that are effective, and all we do is debate the way that they can be best run, best act, best cycled. And they do what they do, and they do that. That's the reason why our labs produce them. It's the reason why they're popular, and it's because they are effective specifically at performance enhancement versus, for example, testosterone replacement. Please note, we are not doctors, and opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast of informational purposes, entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment apply.